on AWS service exploration. That is what I'm majoring in here at Purdue. I have two AWS certifications, and through the internship, I'm working on a third one for a specialty certification in security. So I figured I'd go through something like this that I'm pretty knowledgeable in. I currently work in the cloud as well for my regular full-time job. So presentation topics are going to cover just a quick overview on what AWS is. It makes the services, makes it easier for me to explain them a little better. Who uses AWS? So which companies use it and how they use it and how they're using it to grow. And then the final topic to go over is how you can individually use AWS with different projects, hosting different things, and some of the certifications that are available. So what is a cloud and why is it useful? The cloud is actually another person's computer in all reality. Organizations own large server warehouses, and that server space is rented out. Services are built into those servers, and you only pay for the time or the space that you're using. The cloud has a global presence, and a lot more companies are moving into the cloud as a way to optimize their business. Moving into the cloud cuts a lot of overhead for an organization, like building, security. Every time they would want to expand, they would have to buy their own servers, buy their own licensing for like Microsoft OS, like the operating services, and just everything that they would want to expand out, that would have to be purchased, it would have to be put in, and then you have the building to cover that and all the overhead. It also makes disaster recovery a lot easier too, because let's say your data warehouse gets smashed out by a hurricane or something, you've lost everything. There's a lot of versatility in it as well. You can use multi-cloud presence. You can do like Azure and AWS, both have different things that they offer and different ways that they're good. AWS also does security updates and patching for their servers. So that's another thing that your company doesn't have to exactly worry about. AWS just puts it in there so the people in the organization can really concentrate more on what they're doing in the cloud versus trying to keep the cloud safe. So the variety of AWS services is seen here. At the top, we have analytics, and that's the algorithms on the data that's in the cloud, and it's used to recognize patterns of all different kinds, from purchasing to political opinions, things like that. Storage, that's kind of self-explanatory. Keep files, transactions, any sort of data in the cloud to keep it safe. Machine learning is AIs like Alexa. Networking, that's like virtual routers and switches, and that helps connect everybody together. You have to have that to connect to the internet. Developer tools, there's a suite of products to help developers not only create software, but deploy it in the cloud for their business to use. Another aspect of the AWS is the security. So there's built-in protections against distributed denial of service attacks. So it's like flooding people's IP addresses to keep their clients from reaching their services. There's also encryption. There's different kinds of encryption that you can do to keep your files safe so that when they're going across the web, nobody's able to see what's in them. Database is pretty self-explanatory. That's organized data tables like Excel. There's all different sorts of ways you can put data in there, but the databases are different from storage. Storages are just like files, like a PDF or something. Databases are actually like cells like Excel. And then compute is the like virtual computers, but it's all in all in one. So you get your virtual computer. It's paired with storage that is like your short-term memory. It's just like an online computer. So AWS, there's a bunch of services that are built into these topics here that the AWS covers. There's three different levels for AWS. So the first one is infrastructure as a service. So that offers a lot of customizable areas, and it's a lot more for network architects and IT administrators who really want to get nitty gritty on all the minute settings that are in the cloud. The next one down is a platform as a service. So this is more for software developers. They can create software, put it in there, but they don't worry as much about the fine-tuned pieces of it. And then the last one is software as a service, which most everybody uses. That is, you upload your software to the cloud and run it, but AWS covers everything underneath, from the, like, all the settings, pretty much. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be as tech savvy with the code to do it. You don't have to know code to run anything in the SaaS level. It's just you learn how to use AWS, Office 365, and Slack. You see are some that run on the just the software as a service platform. So how the cloud works is all these dots here, those are the main regions that AWS has. And each of these dots is a span of data warehouses. They're unmarked. No one knows where they are. Nobody has any access to them except for the critical people that need to go in, do server maintenance, retire servers, and obviously the building security that keeps them safe. How that works is AWS has an internal private internet, essentially, that connects all of these warehouses to each other, kind of like this. So you can do things in Brazil, upload it, it gets copied here to the Ohio region in the United States, and then copied. Let's say you have another business that's over in Ireland that gets transferred there to those warehouses, and then you can access the data from anywhere in the world. The other part too is the United States is actually backwards connected to some of the ones over here as well. So anytime you upload something in Brazil or the United States, it's a matter of seconds or merely minutes to be able to see the exact same thing in India, Australia, China. It doesn't matter. AWS runs on their own private network in addition to running on the public network. So just a quick history. In 2003, AWS was pitched to Jeff Bezos at his house. There was a big conference. A lot of his engineers were there. They were like, hey, we have some services that we're using within Amazon. How can we, there's a big need for this. How can we make this a thing? So they wrote up the papers, and in 2004, AWS is created. So AWS is created under the umbrella of Amazon, and they start making a few other services. In 2006, they launched to the public, and the public is able to use those services that has helped make Amazon so successful by running all the online shopping. In 2007, they go intercontinental by putting an office in Europe. In 2008, 2009, various different types of databases are offered because a lot of data is different. So how you can compute that and go through it is different based on what your goals are. In 2010, IP routing was added, so you can actually buy IP addresses through Amazon. And 2014, for the services that they already had, they offered encryption. And 2015, one of the coolest things that I've ever seen is the Snowball was released. So what that is sometimes military units or discoverers up in Alaska that are doing like tectonic plates science experiments, things like that. They have all of this data from all these different data points, and it was taking forever to upload that data, like via regular internet. So AWS ships them a large briefcase looking box, and they upload all of this data to it. With the Snowball can hold a maximum of 50 terabytes of data and ship it to an Amazon retrieval location where AWS will upload it for them for free. That wasn't enough. So the next year they made the Snowmobile, which was over 100 petabytes of data. And that's when they also added in AI learning. So before Alexa, there was LexBot. And that's what makes all the Alexas kind of run today, was the AI learning that they came out with in 2016. So in 2017, they used AI to create some translation and transcribing services. So translation is from like one language to another. Transcribing is taking a video and writing down what is said. So an AI was able to do that. In 2018, they made a data lake improvement to be able to give companies a bigger chunk of data to sort through, do different things. A lot of marketing tactics come out of that as well. It's all, again, it's super complicated about the algorithms that go into the data lake. And then between 2018 and 2022, they've been really just improving on all the services they've got, lowering the cost for using them, acquiring more offices around the world. And today they are valued at over $1.3 trillion, and they offer over 200 different services that you can put together like puzzle pieces online that give you a way to pick and choose what you use and how you use it together to make your projects a reality. So AWS is pretty successful, obviously. They're really easy to use. There's, for every service that they offer, they have tutorials on their own website that they wrote. It's flexible and cost-effective. You only pay for what you use. They're reliable. They have 99.119s in, it's like 99.9999 whatever percent secure that whatever you put into their network is going to end up wherever you're sending it to. It's also scalable. You have an increase for a workload. A lot of people are coming to your website. You can set it up to where there's a way for your services to expand and you can pay for that. And then whenever it comes down, it automatically figures out that you don't need as much resources and it scales it back down. So again, you're only paying for what you're using. Super secure. They have all sorts of encryption and services, again, to make sure that what you're putting in the cloud is safe. In the early days of AWS, and I think it was up until maybe 2008, roughly, they reinvested like 100% of their revenue back into the company. So reinvesting in their talent, giving bonuses for employees who would create new services. And it was really cool to see during that time frame them grow just pumping the money back in to make it so successful. They also have super easy accessibility to training. There's training all over the place on how to learn how to do their services. I'll get more into that later. They have a global presence. So pretty much everything that you touch has something to do with AWS. They also have a free tier option where if you're learning how to use AWS, you can go in and there's all sorts of the 200 services. Not all of them are free, but the majority of them are free up to a certain extent or certain period of time so that you can learn how to use it. So some companies who run on AWS, Netflix is a huge one. So anytime you turn on Netflix, those movies go from those different regions, wherever they're being housed, to come to you. General Electric is a huge one on there, storing all sorts of data. They really use those data lakes. I'm trying to see here if I listed it. So one of the ones that I didn't list was GE Healthcare. I have a friend who works for AWS as a senior DevOps engineer, And one of the things that GE Healthcare has done is started training AIs on how to read CT scans, various different healthcare scans, which then get signed off by a doctor. But with a shortage of different radiologists and testing, just the shortage in healthcare in general, this really helps come up and just give a double check from a doctor. But that's one of the things that they're doing, and they've trained the AI on how to do that. So it's super fascinating to me that a machine can read an x-ray or something and be able to tell you what kind of break is in a bone somewhere, or what kind of, like, there's a mass somewhere, but it recognizes that. And then some of the other ones over here actually just get hosted. They do use some other services like Pinterest and Reddit, Facebook, LinkedIn. They're hosting on there, like the software as a service. So they're pretty much just using it to host their software. So now we get into the cool part. What can you make with AWS services? So you could host your resume. LinkedIn has a spot where you can put your own website, and AWS makes it super easy to buy. Like, for example, I bought a URL of my name, and the reason why my resume is not up here is I'm still working on that. That kind of got put on the side as I started at Purdue and have gotten through my courses. But this is an example of someone who did what's called the AWS resume challenge, and it really lays out how you can use the services to kind of get into AWS. You can make a chatbot. So you can use some AWS services. They send notifications and like WhatsApp kind of idea. And you can create personal chat rooms and things like that. Not as cool as some of the other ones we're going to go into, but it is just is something that you can do on your own to kind of see what different projects you can make. You can make your own Alexa skill and put it on the Alexa. So there's all sorts of different things that she already does, like tells you the weather, trivia, jokes, the news, and you can order food, you can turn lights on and off. So there's a whole bunch of resources you can do to make your own skills to do whatever it is that you want to do. And they have all that documentation on their website. So it's pretty cool to learn through that, how they've made some of the skills that they use and how you can do the same thing. So this is a picture of me and one of my dogs, but this is a service called Recognition. And what it does is it uses an AI to recognize pieces of the picture. So this isn't all the results. There's more down here, but sometimes people use this as a recognition tool for celebrities and photos, especially if it's like a partial side face photo or something like that. It does happen, but it's really cool to see that the AI can recognize what's going on in the picture. This next one is one that I've also used. This is, there's a transcription, real-time transcription for Amazon Transcribe. I've used it for my classes. So back in my communications class, I had to upload a video resume, and I actually uploaded that video resume to Amazon Transcribe. And instead of having to type out the entire transcription, like stop, start of what I was saying, it spit the whole thing out. And there's some different options down here for, the language that the video is speaking in, or it's a language that you don't know what it is, and it can identify what language that is. The next one's also pretty cool. You can play video games. So that sounds kind of boring, but let's say you have a laptop that doesn't have a lot of power and you want to play a game that takes a lot of resources. Instead of going out and buying a new computer, you can just turn on a virtual computer with the resources that you need to run your game, and you can run your game on a virtual computer in the cloud. and you don't have to go out and buy a new laptop and sink a bunch of money into it, especially if it's a game you're not going to play forever, or, you know, you're just trying to figure the game out. You don't want to buy the computer to see what the game is. So there's quite a few of my friends who have done this before, and it's pretty cool to see. So in addition to playing video games, you can also create your own games and run them all around the globe with on AWS services. So on the right there, you see Warner Brother Games and Sony Interactive Entertainment. They use various AWS services to run their games. And there's a whole partner network that can help you put your games out there, get people to play them. Real-time leaderboards in a matter of like milliseconds get updated. It's really cool to see how quickly this works and how amazing it is to game with people all across the world in real time. A more practical use that is helpful, that helped me understand networking better, is learning how to create your own VPC here. And it helps when I was trying to learn how to do CIDR blocks and connecting different virtual computers, it was really awesome to have it here so I could see my subnets, I could see what regions they were in. It helped me learn routing tables a lot easier. And one of the other perks too is you can learn security groups. So that's who's allowed to see what's open to where. And it was just really cool to come in and build off of some routing knowledge that I already had, but then put it here and actually be able to see it. A funny way to go about using the cloud too is making a social media bot. So a social media bot is an AI that will spit out replies. And I'm sure if you're on social media, you've seen some different chat bots that come back and say things, especially on Twitter. There's a lot on Twitter who do a lot of automatic replies. And I wanted to add another one in here to kind of build off of this a little bit. There was a project some years ago called the Humans of New York. And a photographer went out into the streets of New York, took pictures of people and their stories. And it became an amazing thing to see these individual people in the streets of New York. And you just got a glimpse into kind of what their life was like. So somebody who has yet to reveal who he is created lots of New York. So there's all this information that is uploaded into an AI, and it spits out a computer-generated image and then a story to go along with that image. And these are just some of the wild, there's hundreds of examples. There's a new post every day from the bot of New York. And it's, some of them were not PG to put on this presentation. They were really funny. But these are just some of the fun one that is just wild. It spits out just the most random stories you can think of, or some stuff that you wouldn't even, you know, come up with in writing fiction or something. So that was just a really cool big project that somebody did that blew up, and thousands of people every day go to the website to just see what the AI has produced today. Practical use that I really appreciate is using it as a backup for my files. So as you can see here, there's a different files listed for the different classes that I've had. And my OneDrive is full. I've crossed accounts. I don't want to get into fixing it right now, especially with, you know, 5 weeks left in the term. So I just started backing up my files to the cloud. So it has all of this stuff here. And it's set up to where only I can see it. And it just gives me a little reassurance that if my computer were to die, I have everything still sorted out here. And you can upload by folders too. So I didn't upload individual documents. I actually uploaded this entire set here in just two or three clicks, and it's backed up right here. So it's super, super useful. This is one of my most favorite pieces. You can create your own app with AWS. There is a program that they pair with called Figma, and Figma is a screen designing tool. So what you're looking at here is actually the beginnings of an app that I have started to create, and they walk you through how to use the different services to piece them together to run your apps. Some of the apps that you've seen, like Facebook or Pinterest, kind of run off the same thing. There's quite a bit more, but I really didn't want to share what it is yet because I'm still working on it. But this is so I created all of this from all the fields and the colors and just everything. So you take this, you upload it back to a service called AWS Amplify, and they will help you publish your app to either the Google Play Store or to the iOS App Store. And it's just a super cool way to go through and learn how apps are made. So those are just some of the things that I have personally used and or I am using or going to learn to use. So AWS has all sorts of certifications, and there's all different platforms that you can learn on. Cloud Academy is during this internship where I'm learning for the security specialty certification, but Udemy has courses for like $12 and it'll take you through and help you learn because Coursera does too. AWS has a little bit going on. It's not as in-depth as you need, but one of the other cool things is once you do any one of these certifications, they give you a 50% off coupon for the next certification that you take. So it kind of helps you move up or over. And some of these certifications that you get will keep other ones alive. So when I got my cloud practitioner, I went on to the solutions architect, and that renewed my cloud practitioner for another 2 years, which was super duper helpful because I didn't want to have to go back and take like the foundational one again. So whenever you, I'm not quite sure what that map looks like because it is ever evolving, but it's cool to see how the different services that you learn can integrate with the different certifications that they are offering. So I apologize, I went through that pretty quickly, but I don't know if anyone has any questions or comments, and I wanted to thank you all for attending today for the presentation. It really was a lot of fun to put something out there that started out as a hobby, but has grown into a career that I really enjoy. I'm currently a cloud architect for a SaaS company, and I do enjoy what they're doing in the cloud and how they're making software work from what used to be software you just downloaded on your computer with a disk sometimes, and now it's up in the cloud running, and it looks cool to see how everything is so interconnected, and they have clients all over the world, so it's amazing to see that kind of in action. So with that, I will open the floor for any questions or comments, concerns that anyone has.
That was awesome. I'll say that. Thank you, Bree. This is Tina.
Was it?
Yes. I learned a lot. And I was like, wow, okay, I didn't know that. Okay. So it's awesome. Very good. Very good.
I didn't want to overload with information like, here's all these factoids, but I felt like putting that in there, it would show kind of an overview of what they do so that the next part of what you could do with it makes sense. So
no, it was perfect. It was really perfect. I mean, I have advisors ask me all the time when students, come to enroll in your program, in the cloud program. They said, could you explain to me what it is? And I'm like, well, it's not really a short conversation.
No, it isn't. Right. And one of the things that I hope for the internship is to move into some cloud-centric activities at some point. I know the internship is still growing, but I think it would be really cool to expand into that.
Well, and we'd love to do some with your company.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now that you're graduating, let your company know that we can send them some interns. You have projects, we have people.
Oh, absolutely. They have so much going on. They just moved into the cloud a couple years ago. And actually, one of the things that I'm working on that came into my lap yesterday was we're paying for some services in AWS that we're not actually using. So now we have to, the way it's all set up with the servers and how we're hosting the software that we have, there's some peripheral services that were set up, and then the software wasn't engineered to use those services. So now I'm working with the developers, the Python, Java, all those pieces that go into the software, working with them on writing code to make some of these cloud things happen. So it's definitely an up and coming thing with a lot of growth and a lot of potential.
Yeah.
It's amazing all the things that they can do.
Yeah, we get a pretty hefty little bill from AWS too. I just saw that today for the internship.
I don't doubt it.
But thank you. That was awesome.
Sorry, Tina.
Absolutely.
Looks like we have a bunch of hands.
Oh,
I see a couple. Aaron. And that was somebody else I saw.
I'm actually taking a cloud computing class this semester because I've kind of wanted, I know I need to learn at least a little bit going into cybersecurity and all that stuff. So I'm kind of curious because the three that we're mainly touching on for cloud provided software, especially in this class, is AWS, but there's also the Google Cloud and the Microsoft Cloud. Do you feel like, I mean, obviously it's been stated before that AWS is like the OG in terms of cloud computing for the three, but do you feel like any of the other two do certain aspects better, or do you feel like AWS is a catch-all, like kind of does everything better than the other two, or do you feel like, oh, if I'm working on this one project, maybe Google would be better or Microsoft would be better?
So it's kind of tricky. The different cloud providers obviously have their strengths and weaknesses. And one of the things that AWS does really well is they offer the variety of services. Again, because they are the OG in the sense that they reinvested so much of their money into acquiring talent that they helped so many of their own employees grow so many of these services that they're offering to the public. Because a lot of these services started out as we're Amazon, we're selling things online. How can we make the transactions faster? How can we make our app better? How can we balance the amount of people coming to our website? That's also kind of sucky for them too, because they have had in the last couple of years, a lot of high up talent leave to go to Google, to go to Microsoft, to improve their products. So AWS is more of a building blocks kind of thing, where you can just use storage or you can use the computing aspect and storage and upload files automatically from your computer or something like that. Just a simple example there. So it's super, super building blocks. Where Google has a lead is they obviously, because they are Google.com, they have a hand up in analytics and transcribing. It's better. So AWS's AIs, like Alexa's learning things as people ask questions to the, the speakers that are always listening into your house and whatever, it gets better, but the amount of data that Google has, collects, uses with the cookies. Like when you go to a website and you says, you know, we're collecting cookies, and you say, accept all cookies. Well, you're giving them all sorts of stuff, like where you are, what's your website history? You know, what is it that you're looking at? How long did you spend looking at an ad? So that's kind of a lot of the stuff where they're definitely ahead in that realm. My company, for example, wants to go to a multi-cloud approach. So we're on Azure and on AWS. We have different software on AWS, different other software on Azure, because the software works differently. So those cloud providers can do it better than the others. So it's kind of like, I just got started in AWS, so I really appreciate learning about it. But the other cloud providers like Alibaba, they also are gaining some traction in the market, because a detractor from AWS is also that they're under the umbrella of Amazon, which has gotten them in trouble too in the last 2 years for using like the all the services that you see here that Amazon offers. The AWS offers, Amazon is using for their own improvement to suggest things on the Amazon buying app, or they see that people are buying a lot of a certain product, so they improve their own Amazon Basics product to better specifications. And so that's like the data lakes I was talking about, where they aggregate all this data and they use that to better their own products. And then in the algorithms, put their own products first. And there's a big lawsuit going on over that right now. So it's various types of data, what you're using in the cloud, but people are definitely starting to move to Azure and Google as their cloud offerings get better. And as, you know, again, as more talent leaves AWS and moves over to those services to make them better too. So I hope that answers your question. Sorry, for this long-winded answer.
Oh no, that's kind of the answer I was looking for. Was, I mean, AWS obviously is one of the biggest ones out there right now. Anytime you think of cloud, I think most people could at least say AWS is an option. Anybody that's in the computer industry, not as many people maybe know that Google has cloud and Microsoft especially has cloud. So having that like comparison there and understanding, like, you're right, Google does have a massive lead for things like analytics and all that stuff, because it's been in that field for so long that, I mean, it can just take that data and throw it into its own processing unit and be like, what can we find out? So that definitely makes sense. Yeah. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for asking the question. It's definitely interesting to compare. I think AWS, the last time I looked, and it's been a hot minute, they had 60% of the market.
And yeah, they've got a lot more servers as well, comparatively for cloud, I think, than any of the other ones, as well as like region control over a lot of different places.
Yeah, and because they have so much, they offer it so cheaply. Like it's insane how cheap some of the things that you can do on AWS are to run various things. I mean, so this app that I'm working on, I was using the calculator, because they have a calculator built in too. If you're going to use some services, you can calculate out your bill. And in order to run this app, if 10,000 people visit the app, it was like once or twice a day, and they're uploading and downloading information from it, it'll cost me $46 a month. So that's amazing, especially if I can attach some sort of revenue to the app. It's virtually free it's free to build my app, and then it's the cost is almost non-existent to host it and run it.
Right. At that point, if you get a little bit of ad revenue coming back from that, 10,000 people visiting could easily pay the $46 a month.
Yeah.
So I will yield floor. I know Angela's got a question as well. So let's see if she's got anything else she wants to add.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was just wondering how much it actually would cost. And you kind of answered that, because after the free trial, I've heard that a lot of people have gotten huge bills. So I was kind of wondering about what the cost was.
So that's complicated. It's simple and it's complicated. So depending on the services, I'm gonna bring up the website here. It was too much to put in the presentation, so that's why I kind of cut it out. But if you go down here, so if you start your own small VPC, so your own computer, you get 750 hours for free. So if you do 30 days times 24 hours, that's 720 hours. So for the first 12 months, it's free. This is a kind of an API type service. So it runs in between services to kind of tell the services what to do. And you get 1 million transcriptions a month for free.
If you're sharing, I can't see the screen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I know that I've used Firebase, Google Firebase for APIs.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So this is a free tier, and I'll drop this in the chat. So there's all of these different product categories that you can go through. There's stuff that's always free, some that's 12 months free. But AWS likes to kind of make it easier too. Once you get out of that free tier, so your 12 months, they start charging you for things, but you can always migrate your stuff to a new account. They especially recommend that for students. So some of the things that I had been working on, I put a pause on, my free tier expired, and I have to pay for stuff. So I'm just using an alternate email address and then transferring my stuff over. An easy way to do that too is just to make your things, you can connect different AWS accounts. Like my company has over 100 AWS accounts to keep things separate from, you know, different departments and things like that. So you can always get a new email address and transfer stuff over.
Oh, really? So you can just stay in the free tier.
You can stay in the free tier for a really long time. They don't care. So that's kind of one of the perks too, is I've done that. So there's the link to the free tier, but like, let's say I have 20 gigs of movies or whatever. And I can separate that out into different accounts. I just open what's called the bucket, where I have all of my stuff, like my schoolwork, and I make it accessible from another AWS account, and I send it over there. And then, you know, I drop down what I have. But it's also super cheap too. So.
And is this where you would do the video games that you were talking about? With a virtual machine, you could run video games off a virtual machine?
Yeah, some of these services that they have. So the storage here is not where you put that. That's where I was talking about. So the databases aspect of AWS, that's where you would put your video games, some of the stuff in there. And you kind of parse it out into the different services that you would piece together like puzzle pieces to make it work. So there's, I'll drop that link as well for, come back up here. So I'll drop this in here as well. So some of these services are free to do this. I'm not sure which ones, because I haven't actually gotten into this much. It was something that just caught my attention when I was going through, you know, the different new things that AWS was getting into, and one of them was global gaming.
That's so cool, you said there's, I'm a gamer, and my family's gamers. In soft dev, we build games, so
really?
A good one to know. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's I don't know how easy or hard it is to do this, but with everything that they offer, they have instructions on how to use it. And if you can't find out how to do something, like when I was trying to build some of the aspects of the app, I couldn't figure out how to use it. Like, the program is intuitive to a certain extent, but I couldn't figure out how to do some of the things. So I just went on YouTube and, you know, typed in what I was looking for in order to build something. And I mean, there's millions of videos out there on how to use the different AWS services based on whatever it is that you're trying to do.
And Figma as well. I use Figma all the time for wireframing and prototyping.
Yeah, it's a, we have a lot of learning curve.
It's all free. It's free extensions that you can use. And yeah, I love Figma.
I have learned to love it. I hated it at first because I didn't. I'm one of those people that I like to crash into a wall first before I figure out how to drive around it.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here clicking on all
the same way. Break it and then figure out how to fix it.
Yeah. So I got pretty far here, but yeah, the way that you can use Figma too for when you do the framing, there's a YouTube video that even goes over how to take. So this is for an iPhone 11, I think. That's just where it put me, so that's what I started building. But you can actually copy this and make it change sizes for all the different iPhone screens, the Android screens, computer screens, so that it's all the same throughout every product that you would send this out to. So it's cool that they have that built in as well for whatever it is that you're building.
Yeah, I didn't know that you could do all that stuff. So that was pretty neat to learn.
It's insane, all the stuff that you can do. And
yeah, it's pretty daunting when you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then with the AI, I was thinking, I saw that you can take pictures of like a spot on your skin, and you can have an AI say, yeah, that's cancerous, you should get it checked. Or likely cancerous, you should get it checked. Or nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's insane too. So my, like I said, my friend who works at AWS, he's been there for I think like 5 years, and he last summer worked on that project for GE where they were adding the ability to upload all these CT scans and MRI scans because they just couldn't get enough technicians. And it's been incredibly successful from what I understand, to the point where it's the accuracy is just it's amazing.
Yeah, that is so great. I mean, it I like it when it helps people out. AI is great for that. I know a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but there are some people in the tech industry who are afraid of AI. They think they're going to take over the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I get one of the last things that I will say about the security aspect of it, too, in addition to AI being dangerous, is so AWS has all this AI information, all these data lakes. You know, everything that Apple has runs on AWS. So you think back to the San Bernardino shooter and how they were trying to get into a backdoor into the phone, and Apple doesn't really have a way to get in as a backdoor because it's so encrypted. So you take Apple's encryption and put that on top of AWS's encryption, so there's no backdoor. So even if they got into, you know, where all the Apple files are at for all the stuff that everybody's holding, you know, in your cell phones and stuff that's backed up to the cloud, AWS doesn't even have a backdoor into your virtual computers. If you lose that stuff, it's gone. They have no way to unencrypt it. They use 256-bit encryption for the majority of the encryption that you can enable. And they are, one of the things that cloud computing is helping is quantum computing. So it's just a massive light speed type computer that is, I don't even know how to be. I wrote a paper on it and I have just forgotten everything about it because I'm presenting right now. So that, you know, sometimes that's how it goes. But right. It's one of the things that they're afraid of is like the quantum computing breaking 256-bit encryption because it's so powerful. And that's also part of what I did my paper on too. But even a quantum computers at this point aren't able to break the 256-bit encryption that they have for files that you upload, data that you transfer, stuff within the AWS network that they transfer. I mean, how many times has Netflix had a data leak where a movie came out? So it's incredible that AWS runs on all these networks all over the world too, and they have the streaming capability to have millions of people watch a movie at one time, and it's going everywhere, all over the place, all over the world.
Right. I use Netflix all the time, watching foreign films mostly. We were talking about that at the manager's meeting.
Yeah, it's that runs on AWS. So a lot of these companies, AWS at one point was in the top 10 wealthiest, most successful companies in the United States, and nobody even really knew what it was or that it was even a thing. So it's insane that it's done so well from the humble beginnings of how can we make the shopping experience on Amazon.com better for our clients. And it grew into this monolith of computing and AI, and it's insane too how much they give back to the people who are learning it. I mean, my friend makes $500,000 a year.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it first came out, I know a lot of people didn't think it was safe. They didn't want to use it. They didn't think it was safe. And then it became 50-50 about, I don't know, a few years ago. And now most people are like, yeah, I'll use it.
It's great that they've done so much for the safety, and they have that built in. A lot of the safety features are free that you can use. And it definitely helps with their image to be as reliable as they are and bump up the security in the way that they did, because it costs so much less to run your things in the cloud than it would be like to own your own data center and pay to put people in it. And especially during the chip shortage, people couldn't get different things and kind of just moved into the cloud because it was easier than trying to start up your own servers and buying your own licensing for all of the software that you wanted to put on it and the antivirus. And, you know, when something retires, you have to decommission it and then you have to copy that over to another server. It's a lot of hassle, and this just kind of takes all that out. And again, it helps your employees concentrate on what else they can do versus physically going down, taking a router out and doing all that kind of stuff. AWS takes security very seriously, and it's awesome to see some of the reports of distributed denial of service attacks. So they hackers will like flood. I'm probably using that incorrectly, but I'm not in cybersecurity. Please don't yell at me. But people will flood requests into different websites, and Amazon will, or AWS will block that. And it's cool to see how their AI helps with that as well, to help keep business websites online and keep them free from being attacked so that businesses can still run on a 24/7 basis.
What you're referring to is actually a DDoS attack, or distributed denial of service attack.
Denial. Sorry, I don't remember what I called
it. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You had the right idea. Basically, a bunch of ping requests go to a server, and it cannot handle the load of requests coming in, so it crashes it. A lot of IDS and IPS will recognize that it is getting influx of pings and slow down the actual server traffic so it can handle it. And then like, okay, let's handle 10 at a time. Okay, those are done, now another 10. Okay, those are done, another 10. So that it's not just like, oh, here's millions of requests, I can't handle that. So yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how they can do, that's part of the scale up and scale down and stuff too. when the, you know, especially around Christmas and the shopping season, whenever actual clients do visit people's websites and this, I don't know, it's just all around super cool, fascinating company that I've just really enjoyed learning about and all the different things that they offer. And I can't wait to continue my journey. Hopefully after I get done with my bachelor's here, I'm working into my master's with a concentration in AWS. So really excited they do have that for anybody else who might be in the cloud sector. I haven't met any other students that are in the cloud sector either. So I don't know.
The cloud degree is our smallest degree, but there's like 213 or something like that last time I checked in the cloud degree.
That's what I wondered. So on LinkedIn, I see all these posts of these people who get their degrees, and it's always in stuff that's not cloud. And I'm like, am I the first? This cannot be a thing because there's all, you know.
Yeah, we've had plenty of graduates, a lot, not a lot, but I mean, we've had graduates. The program started in 2018, so we've had graduates. But like, just for example, we have 1,000 IT students and 1,000 cyber students in undergrad, and then we have, you know, 220 or so in cloud. And analytics too. I mean, analytics is about that same number right now in undergrad because they're newer programs and they're specialization programs. Whereas, you know, the IT and cyber are a little bit more broad. But yeah, you're part of the
Jason Anderson says that he's in the cloud path. So
yeah,
you guys should get together and have a chat.
There are others. You had them in your classes.
I don't know if I have much more to say than what I've said here, but I'm always excited to talk about. To talk about the cloud, something that I'm passionate about, especially whenever you start learning how companies work in the cloud. And I have had many a laugh with my AWS friend, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, my company has such and such set up this way, and I cannot believe that they're doing this thing. And he responds back, they're doing what? And it's like, again, had that conversation today where my company's paying for services and we're not using them. So it's crazy to get with cloud people who know what's going on and or who can talk about like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is because there's so many paths that you can take to learn the different things you get through the cloud practitioner and then the solutions architect. Or either one of these actually, or these three here, the next level. But you can move into any one of these other ones, and it's the jobs are so in demand. Getting a certification and then learning some sort of programming language in conjunction with that will get you a six-figure job within 2 to 3 years if you can start out somewhere in a junior role, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm in a more junior role, but by the end of next year I'll be a senior, so I'm really excited to make that move. But yeah, for sure I'll see Jason
Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great that you're already working in the field and you're getting hands-on experience. That's awesome.
Yeah, and Aaron is right. So you don't actually have to have a degree in cloud to do cloud things. I don't have a bachelor's degree or associate's or anything, and I've been to school on and off since 2010 when I graduated high school, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I got my cloud practitioner and my solutions architect before I even started at Purdue. And the only reason really, which I hate to say this, but the only reason why I'm actually pursuing my degree is just because it gets my foot in the door for higher levels of management and things like that. When you get into the more nitty gritty stuff, they don't want to bring you in if you don't have a bachelor's degree. So when I saw that Purdue had the cloud degree, I was like, oh, hey, I'm going to get credits for the cloud certifications that I've already got. And that's going to take a lot of the course load off, which it did. But if you have other stuff in conjunction with the cloud certifications, it's sky's the limit when it comes to what you can do with that, because there's all different aspects of the cloud, especially when it comes to the machine learning and the different data algorithms that you can pull information out of. So Yeah, Aaron, you're definitely right.
Does your company do AWS audits to see every now and then which services they don't need anymore? I know that they did find some services now, but maybe that's something that you could implement every, say, 6 months. Go through and see which services are needed, which ones aren't.
That's on my to-do list. My super long story short, my department actually doesn't really have processes and procedures right now. And that task has fallen to me to create the processes and procedures for all of our software offerings that my particular department has. So that's right now that's on my plate with the newest thing, which was the load balancers. We have load balancers that aren't balancing any loads. So that's what I'm going into. But once that gets done, then I want to go. I haven't poked around in the cloud much because I was kind of afraid of, you know, what I was allowed to see, what I was allowed to do. Are they going to be upset if I'm doing different things? But uncovering the fact that they're actually using services and they're not doing any sort of audit is quite alarming, because they do have a very large AWS bill for all the stuff that they're using. They're not utilizing it properly.
Right.
So
that would save them money and that would make them happy.
Yeah, there's a few things. Our software doesn't use auto scaling or auto balancing either. So that's part of what I'm also helping with too, is when there's a lot of heavy traffic, there's not a way to sort them in very easily. And when, you know, billing comes up at the end of the quarter, our websites go down because all of it, you have to manually change the CPU usage for the servers. So it's, again, definitely something that they're working on. Just it, everything is at a very slow snail's pace. A lot of politics playing into that too, but yeah. It's definitely for companies like that have software as a service offerings. It's an up and coming field. There's a lot of ways that you can start out and move up and go in and really make a difference in how they're working. And especially if you know something about the billing for the cloud and how to improve that too. Because I myself have some stuff running and I get a bill every once in a while for services that I've exceeded and just different things that I'm doing. I'm just like, oh, do I really want to open this? I know how you feel. So I apologize. We are a little over time, but did anybody have any other questions or anything?
No, but I would suggest that maybe consider teaching a AWS course at some point down the line.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I would absolutely agree, by the way, Ms. Owen. Very informative, very, very good presentation.
Thank you. And I'm so glad that so many people showed up. I love these master classes, and it's really awesome to see people present what they're passionate about. So I appreciate everybody coming and the questions that were asked, and it gave me some time to shine a little bit on the knowledge of AWS that I have been accruing over the last couple of years.
Yeah, you did a wonderful job. Like I said, there were so many things that you presented that I didn't know that I'm excited about, like the gaming good. One.
Yeah. Good. I'm excited to hear if you decide to do something with it, what your experience is in using the services and how you find it. It's awesome to go in and play around in the cloud and see what you can make with it. And this is just only a couple projects. There's thousands of projects out there that you can learn. And a lot of them are the free tier. So you go in and learn how to do stuff and it doesn't cost you any money to learn how to do it. And that also helps people get jobs too, is you can go in and use the free tier to learn how to do some different things, and it gets you some experience in actually working in the cloud. So it definitely helps with that.
I saw Nate had his hand up, but then it went down. I don't know if Nate still has a question or a comment.
No, I was going to say that if we wanted to, we could maybe have a sit down, Bree, and talk about security when it comes to the AWS cloud and how we do incident response and all that other good security stuff.
I'd like that as well. I second that. I'd be very interested to join that.
Okay. I'm open this weekend if you guys want to mess around with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing the security specialty. A little scared about it because VPCs are my weakness when it comes to setting up the security groups. I stateful versus stateless, and it was my weakest spot when I took my last exam too. But I think it would be great if we could get together and talk about that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we can talk about that, and we can actually really talk about how do you audit your AWS or your cloud environments. We can go through that too.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Right.
Yeah, include me in that. I'm down for the cause.
Sounds like a plan.
Nate, can you set up a time on the calendar and just invite everybody and whoever doesn't show up? Because I'd like to do that too.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Forewarning, of course, AWS is what? Linux. So we are going to do some technical troubleshooting with Linux commands. Okay.
Ooh,
yes. So maybe some scripting. Okay. So you may see some Python 2. Blah, blah, or some Python 3. Blah, blah. But most of it is going to be, just kind of technical troubleshooting and looking and scan stuff and look at stuff and turn stuff off with the AWS CLI, all the fun stuff.
James comment. Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. I am baby level on Python and Linux, so it'll be great to get some knowledge around that, especially from somebody who knows what's going on.
Well, it's going to be funny when you find out how much you know about Linux already. Okay, if you're an AWS cloud practitioner, you're pretty solid on a lot of the Linux that goes on. JSON or Node.js is another that AWS uses heavily. And you probably know that when it comes to doing what? Editing policies?
Yeah, that one's a pretty easy one to understand. The different access policies are written in JSON, and it's pretty self-explanatory. Yep. But yeah, the rest
and
of it,
and you could just edit it right there, you can, or add together. So that's something we can look at too. All right, I'll leave you guys alone with my mumbo jumbo. Let you guys get.
Actually, Nate, while I've got you here really quick, because you kind of mentioned scripting, and I know Scott's been with me as well about, we've been talking about doing some scripting talk on Saturday. We got a couple people that were trying to get together, and I was trying to find a team lead to throw something on the calendar and talk to that about it. But if you're looking at doing something like scripting with AWS, CLI, especially for me and Scott in the cybersecurity side of things, I know that would be very informative as well. If we wanted to bundle that, I would definitely be okay with that if we wanted to get some people together, because I don't want to time constraint Scott as well of picking one or the other, because I'm intermediate at best for scripting. I'm just trying to learn myself. So if that's something that you feel like could kind of be all encompassing, I would definitely be willing to yield the floor to somebody much more knowledgeable. Is that something you'd be interested in?
We could possibly get together. If you guys want to,
Yeah, depending on the time frame, we can move our, we were going to do a little study group. We can definitely, I'm willing to move it if we feel like that's something that, Scott, would you feel like that would be a little bit more in depth for you?
I'm good with it. I am good with it. I am open.
Yeah, especially if it's somebody that's done it longer and is more knowledgeable. I would definitely appreciate the expertise.
Are we just looking
at it as well?
Regular scripts like API calling, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's it was kind of an all-encompassing, just especially foot in the door, understand the different libraries that Python has to offer and things like that. And one of the people trying to talk to into the group was like, well, we can do Java and we can do this and we can do that. I'm like, well, Java's not really a scripting language in and of itself, but we could
JavaScript.
Definitely
script.
There is JavaScript. Yeah. But my knowledge in that was a bit lackluster.
Yeah, if you're in security, you should definitely be looking at Python.
Yeah, sure. that's been what I've been doing for a longer time. I'm going into pen testing, and Python is where I've primarily, you know, focused on, because that's, you just want the quick and dirty. You want the 5-minute write a script and then be able to use it 100 times for pen testing. So
and for automation.
Yes, exactly. Just being able to.
Is that what Scott wants to do, or?
That's kind of what he's looking at learning. I think Scott's been in the field for a while, and is trying to find other avenues of making his job easier. So scripting is one of those things that he wants to learn to make it better.
I'm in cyber, and you know, I've just always seen a ton of, when I was looking at jobs, I would see a bunch of scripting on job descriptions, specifically in Python. So I'm just well, apparently this might be something that would add value.
Yeah. So before we go too much farther, Carrie, I think I just to confirm with all the leads here, especially Angela and all that, I think we are good to go now. I think the actual masterclass is over after the hour.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So anybody that's got time constraints, anybody that needs to step out, I think is good to go. Like I'll let the leads actually determine that if they want to dismiss or stop recording or whatever. But I think we're good there.
Great job, Bree. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, good job,
Ms.
Bree. Have a good one.
So, yeah, if we can get something on Saturday or Sunday, we were going to do Saturday because it was kind of open day, but if we want to do Sunday as well, when is everybody available?
I'm open all day Sunday, Saturday before 7 p.m.